House, please come to order. Will the members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
Thirty-five present, five absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representatives Cooper and Rudd are excused from the call of the House today. I'll ask unanimous consent that any absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is Father Larson of the Episcopal Church. Will the House please rise for prayer?
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know our needs far better than do we. Give the members of this House, we pray, the eyes to rightly perceive the needs of the people of our state. Give them also the will and the commitment to do all in their power to meet those needs. Help them to transcend partisan politics and selfish concerns. Enable them to always know that you are with them as their guide and their strength. Amen.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread to the journal.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 107th day in House Supplement Number 37.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 107th day and for House Supplement Number 37.
Without objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? If not, are there any messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Finances had Senate Bill 184 amended under consideration a second time, increasing the limitations on commercial fishing loans. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 184 Finance and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Duncan, Swanson, Meekins, Haugen, and Rode. Senate Bill 184 amended has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 558, Marital Deduction and Testamentary Transfers, under consideration. Three members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Rudd, Gardner, and Miles. Mr. Carpenter has no recommendation. Senate Bill 558 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Joint Resolution 72, requesting the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council to consider recommending fish quotas which encourage stable monthly harvests under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 72 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Eliason, Urien, Miller, and Osterbach. Having no recommendation, Snyder, Smith, and Akers. House Joint Resolution Number 72 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Concurrent Resolution 123, requesting the Judicial Council to aid the Alaska court system in developing guidelines for sentencing first felony offenders under consideration. Three members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 123 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman. Excuse me. Mr. Gardner, Chairman. Concurred in by Gardner, Rudd, and Brown. Signing no recommendation, Miles. Signing do not pass, Carpenter. House Concurrent Resolution 123 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Concurrent Resolution 124 relating to domesticated musk ox under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Osterbach, Akers, Smith, and Malone. Mr. Snyder has no recommendation. House Concurrent Resolution 124 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 113 relating to the imitation of certain uniforms and equipment used by the Department of Public Safety under consideration. Three members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 113 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Miles, Gardner, and Dankworth. Mr. Brown has no recommendation. House Bill 113 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 255, Commercial Fishing Loan Act, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, and Meekins. House Bill 255 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 519, relating to persons with developmental handicaps, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 519 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Parr, Bennett, Phillips, Chatterton, Buchholz, O.C. Cotton, and Byrne. House Bill 519 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 685, relating to the authority of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities over taxicabs and limousines, under consideration. A majority of the committee report it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, signing do pass, Bradley, Parr, and McKinnon. Having no recommendation, Chatterton, Carpenter, Hayes, and Brown. House Bill 685 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 807, relating to a fee punch card system for king salmon sport fishing, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 807 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Duncan, Rode, Haugen, Guy, and Meekins. House Bill 807 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 898, a special appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for allocation to the Alaska Fisheries Development Corporation, under consideration. Five members of the committee recommend it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 898 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Duncan, Meekins, Guy, and Rode. Mr. Haugen has no recommendation. House Bill 898 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce is at House Bill 944, relating to the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by Hayes, Chatterton, Carpenter, and McKinnon. House Bill 944 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation congratulating Sharon Kleinsmith, State Spelling Bee Champion, requested by Representatives Miller and Duncan. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House Bills.
House Bill 948 by the Commerce Committee, an act transferring the Bristol Bay Regional Development Council from the Office of the Governor to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and providing for an effective date.
Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 949 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the treatment of persons found not guilty on the ground of mental disease or defect.
Referred to the Judiciary Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the calendar. Representative Guy. Clerk, please note the presence of Representative Guy in the chambers. Clerk, please read the first item on the calendar.
House Bill 728 by Osterbach, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for acquisition of a mobile dental clinic to serve residents of rural Alaska and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 728 under consideration. Four members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. O.C., Vice Chairman, concurred in by Byrne, Cotton, Phillips, and O.C. Mr. Chatterton has no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 728 under consideration. Five members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Duncan, Freeman, Haugen, and Guy. Rode has no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 728 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 728, third reading.
House Bill Number 728 by Osterback, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for acquisition of a mobile dental clinic to serve residents of rural Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Representative Osterback.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This dental clinic will be, it's being built right now in San Francisco, and it'll be shipped up as soon as this bill goes through, and it'll serve the Aleutian chain. It'll be moved by freighters from one community to the next, and it can be left in one of the largest communities over during the winter. And I don't know if you know, but we have no dental service up in the Aleutian chain. And to go from Sandpoint to Anchorage for the children to get their teeth fixed, it costs about $300 for round-trip ticket. From Unalaska, it's about $500. And then you all know what, when you have to stay in a hotel, what it costs, about $50 a day. So most of the children and the people up there can't afford to go to a dentist. And it's something what been needed up in that area for years, and this would be an experiment. And we have, according to Pat Pletnik off the Aleutian Island, Aleutian Provoff Island Corporation, it's a non-profit corporation, and they say they have dentists that will volunteer their services for a period of time. And then I'm sure the cities can put in money to keep it during the winter and pay for a dentist. And any other people up there, it would be a lot cheaper for them to go to this clinic too, where they can get their teeth fixed, and they can charge them like the cannery workers a fee for the dental service. And I think it's a good bill, and I think it'll be, I'm sure it'll be a success because it can be moved around by freighters, not like they talked about before, flying it in a C-130 or something. I don't think that'll work. But the last thing we talked about, it can be moved by freighters or big processing boats. And I urge the body to vote for the bill. I thank you.
Representative Urien.
And Mr. Speaker, a question through the chair, Mr. Osterback. He says that this unit is already under construction. I'm somewhat curious as to who is building it, and are they building it based on this appropriation? Who is going to staff it, and who will be able to utilize the services it provides?
Representative Osterback.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. They've ordered, according to what they told me, I don't have anything to show, just a telephone call, that they ordered a unit in San Francisco. And I imagine they have some money, or they're planning on the bill passing. And if it's in Unalaska, there's about 3,000 people up there, cannery workers, and they'll be entitled to use it too, outside of the school children and the local people of the community. And I hope that answers your question.
Representative Urien.
Maybe I'll make myself more clear this time. He said they have ordered it. I would like to know who they are, and who the dentists are that will staff this.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Marvin Stark and Dr. Kenneth Solberg from the University of California School of Dentistry and the San Francisco Medical Center have initiated a program over the last several years of mobile dental clinics. They originally built themselves and staffed from their students a mobile dental clinic that was used in the San Joaquin Valley for migrant farm workers in 1971. Since that time, they have initiated the same program in Israel, Jordan, Czechoslovakia, and South America. The students that are in their program are aware of this mobile dental clinic activity and are very in favor of it. In fact, for the Alaska program, there are currently 80 volunteers. Of course, they wouldn't need 80, but there are 80 who are willing to come to the state and perform these functions on a volunteer basis. The only remuneration they would have would be for their travel and and some expenses, but not pay. And the doctors, the current dentists, not the students who would travel, would be remunerated for their loss of salary. The program, the current shell, has been driven back from where it was built in the Midwest by the students on their vacation. On spring vacation, they drove there and brought it back at their own expense. It is now in at the dental school, and they are currently working on it, trying to equip it. It's their labor, and I suppose they'd have to either use it for another program, of which they have several proposals, or do something else with it. But they do plan to use it for Alaska if this money comes through. It's not it's not imperative. We haven't made any commitments. We certainly have the opportunity and the right not to approve the money, but I think given the understanding that we have, the analysis that there is very little dental work in this area, and for the $200,000, it's an extremely good buy, because most of the costs in dentistry, of course, are not the equipment, but the personal services, and those are mostly volunteer in this proposal. So I think it's a very good proposal, and for $200,000, we're getting a tremendous amount of services.
Representative Swanson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this concept of bringing some type of dentistry to youngsters in rural Alaska. I won't discuss the merits of the $200,000, and I think that out of an $800 million budget plus, we certainly can look towards a support for a program that's absolutely necessary in the remote parts of Alaska. I'm not familiar with the chain, but I'm certainly familiar with many parts of the interior of Alaska, having represented rural Alaska since 1971, and even before that, traveling through the rural Alaska. And I can tell you that we have had different types of mobile dentist units. Sometimes they're put into an airplane and flown from different places, and I've even seen a dentist using a hand-pedaled machine for a drilling machine in different parts of Alaska. Certainly for a lousy $200,000, we would initiate a program to give a dentistry program into an area that has never been touched by any kind of mobile units other than maybe the guy with the hand, the foot-pedaled machine. Certainly, this is a good program, and I think that if we move this legislation along, we can correct those if there are inadequate parts of it. We can correct that as we go along. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A query through you to anyone that can answer it. Some 7 weeks ago, when this bill was before the HES committee, there was testimony offered at that time that then there still was an unresolved question, and I'm wondering if it has been resolved as to whether or not these students from the University of California system will be able to be licensed to practice dentistry in the state of Alaska.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, can we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Question before the House is, shall House Bill 728 pass the House? Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chatterton raised the question, and a proper one, as to whether or not dentists from the University of California could practice here in Alaska without having a dental license. I'm sure that they cannot unless they are actually employees of the United States Public Health Service. Any contract that's worked out with the University of California will have to reflect that that it's a contract through the Public Health Service. Otherwise, I'm sure dentists can't practice without a license here.
Representative Greening.
Speaker, to answer the last question, we passed a bill, I think it was last session or the session before that, allowing dentists who are not licensed in the state to practice for up to a year for a nonprofit organization in rural areas. And I forgot the definition of it was areas in which the population was below a certain number. And so in this circumstance, the law would allow, quite properly so, the dentists to practice out of this clinic in conjunction with the nonprofit association in the Aleutians.
Representative Urien.
A question to Mr. Green, to the chair. Did that, the law that passed a year ago, whenever it was, did that cover student dentists, or was that only dentists that were had graduated from a accredited school on dentistry?
Discussion is getting a little far afield from the bill, but Representative Greening?
It's my recollection that it would include a graduate from an accredited dental school.
Is there further discussion? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question through you to anyone. What was the testimony of the Department of Health and Social Services on this bill, if any?
Representative Meekins.
They favored it.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 728 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 3 Nays, 3 Excused.
And so House Bill 728 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 728, that the roll call on House Bill 728 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill 797 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the University of Alaska for expansion of its continuing education program for nurses and providing for an effective date. The Committee on HES has had House Bill 797 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Bennett, Chatterton, O.C., Cotton, Byrne, and Parr. Mr. Phillips has no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 797 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Greening, Duncan, Buchholz, Guy, Schaefer, Haugen, and Rode. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, ask unanimous consent that House Bill 797 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 797 in third reading.
House Bill 797 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the University of Alaska for expansion of its continuing education program for nurses and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 797 is before the House in third reading. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, last spring, I was reading the Alaska Nurses Association newsletter and became interested in some comments regarding the desirability of nurses who have a two-year RN degree upgrading to a baccalaureate, and wrote the president of the association about this. Looking at the idea of the state subsidizing perhaps attendance at the School of Nursing in Anchorage. And in the correspondence, it became apparent that this might be a fairly expensive program, although desirable. But something else that was also pointed out to me, and which I really hadn't thought about very much, was that there's a difficulty in relocating for many of these nurses. The letter from Ms. Mona Raven, who's the president of the association, says in part, most of the RN students have children, many are single parents, and that some of them have given up jobs and relocated their families. And so it became apparent that, among other things, one thing that was needed was more education in the areas where they are. Last December, I was asked in Fairbanks to meet with a group of nurses from the Fairbanks community. I didn't know what they wanted to talk about, but it did turn out that what they wanted to talk about was continuing education for nurses. They were not getting enough opportunity to upgrade their skills and to refresh themselves on things that they hadn't studied for a long time in school and which they might not have had occasion to practice. After arrival in Juneau, I was asked to meet with the Juneau nurses, and again they didn't say what they wanted to talk about, but again it turned out to be exactly the same thing, the continuing education for nurses. The continuing education program that does go on now is over half the courses are offered in the Anchorage area, and this is simply a matter of money. It does take someone to travel around and give them, because people who are qualified to teach the courses aren't always available in the communities concerned. So the bill provides $40,000 for continuing education at locations other than that of the School of Nursing, which is, of course, Anchorage. It does not specify where this will be carried out. That's up to the director of the School of Nursing, and it does provide a definition of two things there. One is the upgrading and refresher skills courses, and the other one would be courses which would shorten the time that an RN nurse might have to spend at the School of Nursing in Anchorage. At present, there anyone who would go there has spent at least three semesters. It simply isn't possible for many of the nurses who have families and obligations that they can't leave. That, in essence, is the substance of the bill, Mr. Speaker. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Further discussion. Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 797 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay, 2 excused.
So House Bill 797 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent the roll call on House Bill 797 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Parr, or very brief at ease, Mr. Speaker. House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Senate Bill Number 441 by Hackney, Coletta, Curtula, Poland, Meland, and Ray. An act making a special appropriation to the Office of the Governor and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Hess has had Senate Bill 441 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Cotton, Chatterton, Nackack, Bennett, and Parr. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 441 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Duncan, Buchholz, Schaefer, Guy, Haugen, and Rode. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, before placing the advancement motion, I should probably mention that the presence in our packet of this committee substitute for Senate Bill 441 is a mistake. That committee substitute was perhaps addressed in the Senate, but it was never passed. The bill that was passed was the simple Senate Bill Number 441, and that's what's been acted on by committees in this House. I'll ask unanimous consent, Mr. Speaker, that Senate Bill 441 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk please read Senate Bill 441 in third reading.
Senate Bill Number 441 by Hackney, Coletta, Kurtula, Poland, Mieland, and Ray. An act making a special appropriation to the Office of the Governor and providing for an effective date.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this bill would provide seed money for the Native Improvement and Development Association of Sitka, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, NIDAS, for a pilot project. I did pass out during the at ease, Mr. Speaker, a little brochure on this. I apologize for the fact that my name was not on it, but the members do have one that describes the Chatham thing. That's the one that goes with this. This group would use the seed money to get going on this. They expect to use a combination of different kinds of funds. They do have the promise of a of an unused cannery area for a site. Their primary stress will be on the personal development skills for the troubled young people, and then as a secondary goal, vocational skills. Mr. Speaker, the there are very few times that we will have an opportunity to vote a small appropriation for any better project than this one.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall Senate Bill 441 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 3 Nays, 4 Excused.
And so Senate Bill 441 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent to the roll call on Senate Bill 441 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Carpenter.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 728.
Clerk, please note Representative Carpenter's notice of reconsideration of his vote on House Bill 728. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 87 by the Rules Committee by request. Annulling a regulation of the Department of Environmental Conservation relating to drinking water. The Committee on Hess has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 87 under consideration. The Committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing DuPass, O.C. Chatterton, and NACAC. Signing no recommendation, Phillips, Cotton, Bennett, and Parr. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question? Representative Gardner.
Speaker, speak briefly on this resolution. This really applies very directly to our area in Ketchikan because a lot of people get drinking water from either small lakes, streams, or off their roofs because we do have a lot of rainwater. Well, this resolution is a pretty good example of some where one of our state agencies has imposed some regulations in relation to federal law, and for some reason they've just over a couple period, a couple of years, even though citizens in our area have protested over and over and they've revised the regulations, they have never gotten down to the basic problem, and that is that we have water systems in the Ketchikan area and other areas too, I assume, that people have been using for years, and nobody's getting sick off them. It's good, clean water. And yet these regulations are going to force them to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars for chlorination and monitoring. And it's really kind of pointless. If there was a problem, then we would be helping people out by doing this kind of thing. But there basically isn't a problem. And yet we have these regulations to resolve a problem. and they may resolve a problem in another area, but they adversely impact a lot of citizens in our area who live in rural areas and who aren't on a large municipal water system. They've banded together and put their money together to create a water system that they could jointly use. And this is, if this regulation is not repealed, it's going to force them to spend a lot of money on something that will be totally non-productive. And I think we're faced with the only possibility that we have now is to just repeal the regulation. We'd hoped over a couple of years, and I know the Administration Regulation Review Committee worked with the department on this, that they could write a regulation that would not abuse some of our citizens, but they haven't been able to do it, and it's unfortunate.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I have a committee in my district also that's being affected by this regulation, Elfin Cove. I've received a letter recently signed by the total population of Elfin Cove of 28 people. Now, the state has came into Elfin Cove and decided that these people should chlorinate their water supply, and there's no local government in Elfin Cove. I don't know who's going to be responsible for this particular project, but they've been taking water from this water supply for 40 years. But the amazing part of this, Mr. Speaker, is if that four people would run a separate line to the same water supply, they'd be in compliance because there'd be less than 25 people. So I just don't know how. I don't think that big uncle government should come into small communities and try to protect those people from themselves. I think they want to be left alone.
Representative Osi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The review committee went over this and had testimony on it, and the review committee voted in favor of annulling this, and it's brought up by the two previous speakers. It is going to affect many small areas. This doesn't have anything to do with public eating places or drinking places of that sort, but just with homes. And for example, in Representative Eliason's district, this one community, I don't call the name now, where the stream runs by is pure water, and they could go down there and dip it and have no problem. But to pipe it, then they have a problem. And the amount of money it's going to cost is imprudent for these people to put in this cause. So I urge you to vote to annul this regulation. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this resolution. I have some personal knowledge of the same type of problems in other municipalities or villages near Anchorage. That I have a question, Representative Olsey just answered it, but I'm not sure. This was by the Rules Committee by request. Did this come out of the Regulation Review Committee, or can anyone tell me who requested this?
Representative
Gardner?
It's not the governor. It was introduced by Senator Ziegler. That was the Senate Rules Committee.
Representative Parr?
Mr. Speaker, I think your members will notice that there were more no recommendation on this bill out of the House Committee than there were to pass. And I don't know that I'm not going to say that the bill is undesirable necessarily, but I would like simply to point out that it's not nearly as one-sided a case as the previous speakers may have made it appear. The testimony before that committee was that the cost of purifying, chlorinating, or whatever you want to call it, the water wasn't nearly as expensive as we'd had one consultant who one of the small communities had recommended. And it seemed to be a very bearable cost, and we did have information furnished to us which indicated that waterborne diseases are not a thing that's unknown in the state of Alaska. So I just like the members to realize that this is not simply a nice, clear-cut, black-and-white issue.
Representative Eliason?
Mr. Speaker, it might be interesting to note during the testimony in Hess Committee that we found that the state itself is violating their own regulations. It seems that surface water is classified as any water above 30 feet. So these pumps that they have in these weigh stations that the Department of Parks is installing all over the state for the tourists to use can only pump 21 feet. So technically they're pumping surface water. So if they're going to enforce their own regulation, they have to put chlorinators on those pumps.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution number 87 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay, 3 excused.
Mr. Speaker?
Representative Phillips?
I have asked to change my vote and was recognized.
We'll void the roll call vote. I would ask that the members restrain themselves from comments of approval or disapproval on the vote while the vote is in progress, because it is difficult for the chair to recognize those individuals who might want to change their vote in the process. Void the roll call on Senate Concurrent Resolution number 87. We'll take another roll call vote. Question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution number 87 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 3 nays, 3 excused.
So Senate Concurrent Resolution number 87 has passed the House. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
Speaker, ask unanimous consent that Representative Miles be excused from the call on Friday, April 28th.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The member will be excused on the date indicated.
And Mr. Speaker, that Mr. Anderson be excused from the call also on April 28th.
Without objection, motion is adopted. Representative Anderson will be excused on the 28th. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Are there any special orders? Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak under special orders on the Corrections Master Plan.
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to keep the body informed of what we're doing in the Master Plan, since I am a member of that committee. It's not a legislative committee, and I'm the legislative liaison member on that committee. The Master Plan Advisory Committee was created in order to let a contract to do a comprehensive plan for corrections for the state. This came out of a realization of many people who deal in correction in the state that we've never really done any comprehensive planning, that we really don't know what our purpose is for corrections, that no one has sat down and really decided what the goals for corrections are and then what the programs and types of facilities would be to come out of that. And this problem, this lack of any long-range planning, is not just particular to Alaska, but endemic throughout the whole United States. The federal government, recognizing this, has provided some money that would be contributed to states who are willing to undertake a master plan. And the state of Alaska has received $164,000 in a federal grant for its master plan, which would not be the total amount. The state would have to come up with about $81,000 or $82,000 in order to complete the study. We just did let the contract. It was a long process, taking many months from beginning to end. We had about 20 different bidders. We narrowed those down to 4, and then we had extensive interviews over many hours with the 4 finalists, and finally chose actually a combination of 2, because we liked some parts of one and some parts of another, and we put the 2 proposals together somewhat and came out with what we believe will be a very good master plan. The attempt in the master plan will not be to fix the policy, but simply to make recommendations with different alternatives and the ramifications of those alternatives to the legislature next year. The master plan should be completed by December 31st. Whatever legislation may or may not be required or might be required would be introduced at that time and would undergo the full range of legislative debate. And the policy for corrections and the programs and also the facilities that would come out of that planning process would be decided upon by the legislature, and that's the intent of the Master Plan Advisory Committee, and the two legislative members are making sure that we do not limit the options of the legislature, but rather provide the full range of options for the legislature to decide upon. Some of the things we're looking into, prison industries, regionalization of our jail system as opposed to centralizing our jail system, alternatives to incarceration in the area of such as alcohol abuse, which a tremendous portion of those persons incarcerated in this state are incarcerated because of some infraction of law due to alcohol or drug addiction or abuse, and we're looking to alternatives for that kind of crime, and also facility needs for the future, not only in adult but also women and juvenile facility needs. I think one area that may provide may be very interesting to the members, and of course there is one person in this body, Representative Dankworth, who has been sort of the prime mover in prison industries, and it's really due to his efforts and his knowledge on the subject and communicating with other members of the legislature, particularly myself, that we are looking into prison industries. And I think this may be one of the tremendous benefits of the master plan. The prison industry program, of course, is that prisoners would work while in prison as opposed to the current situation where most of the prisoners simply lie in their bunks and do not particularly contribute anything worthwhile and don't produce anything that has any monetary value. The idea would be to have some sort of industry, some sort of production or service rendered by the prisoners that would be able to be sold in the Alaskan economy, and the money that would be earned in that way would go towards salaries, and those salaries hopefully would be something commensurate with what a person might make in the real world. However, the difference would be that we would subtract from that salary the costs of incarceration, at least some of the costs of incarceration, and also some small amount or per day for restitution to the victim of the crime, if that were warranted. In that way, there might be, say, just a very small amount left over, maybe a dollar or a couple dollars a day of this wage, and that could be used to put in a trust account for the prisoner, so that upon release, the prisoner not only would have training that he or she did not have upon entering the system, but would have some amount of money. And currently the case is that not only do they not have training, but they don't have any money in the bank usually, and so they're very limited in terms of options and a lot of times return to a life of crime. And my knowledge on this subject is comes completely out of discussions with Representative Dankworth, and although he's not a member of the Master Plan Committee, his thoughts have been incorporated in that committee's work, and a large portion of the money, $50,000, is going towards looking into this to prison industries. And I just wanted to keep the body informed on this subject so that next year when we address it, they'll have known the process.
Any more special orders? Representative Freeman. House, please stand at ease. We're down to special orders. Are there any more special orders? Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have a privilege of the floor to speak on the Pioneer Homes.
Without objection. You have the floor, Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the members of the body will remember that last week I got up and expressed my concern about a news release out of a news article out of Anchorage that implied that pioneers in the Anchorage home were going to be forced out due to fire and safety code problems. And I have met since that time with Commissioner Allen of the Department of Administration and Commissioner Byrne of the Department of Health and Social Services. The three of us got together with some of their staff people and did discuss this problem. And Mr. Speaker, I'm afraid the news item was a little bit premature in a sense, but it is true that down the road there will be a surplus of pioneers probably who could be in the nursing care unit of that Anchorage Pioneer Home. It only has a certain number. Pioneer homes are really designed for ambulatory pioneers, and the fire and safety code requirements are more stringent for people in nursing care. And it's unfortunate that the building was built that way, but that's the way it was built. And I did discuss the possibility of, say, another wing or something, and apparently the land isn't available. So, but I would like the body to know that this is being looked at by both the two departments, and what we're trying to do is to look at the whole range of ways in which the elderly can be given, can be assisted, not only through Pioneer homes, but assisted to stay in their own homes when they prefer that, and or in the senior citizen housing facilities such as the one recently opened in Ketchikan. This is a complex problem, and I think that what we need is the same kind of master plan that is now being worked on for corrections. So at least the people in the Anchorage home will not be put out on the street tomorrow or next day. But it is a problem that will come up, and we are going to have to be prepared to address it.
Are there any more special orders? Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be given the privilege of the floor to speak on an impending gunfight.
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'm happy to report that news reports the contrary. Representative Cooper and I won't be shooting it out today. This is regarding the capital move question, and I've just spoken with Representative Cooper. Of course, he's been out of town for a while doing some very important business for us, as well as other people at the state, all people at the state. It was reported that that there was going to be some sort of punch out or gun battle between Representative Cooper and I regarding the capital move and the discharge of the bills from the State Affairs Committee and and House Finance taking the question up. I've been informed that House Finance is, of course, going to take up the issue, and because it is somewhat of a substantive and complicated issue, and they're going to start to work on the knowledge level, and or whatever, and that's certainly proper, and I can sympathize with the membership of that committee wanting to get up to speed, since for all practical purposes that they've been dealing with other very important matters, and at this time now want to partially change focus and deal with the capital move issue, which is, like it or not, an important matter. And so I'm just sort of trying to get up and clear the air under somewhat. And if there's any person that's romantic, it's myself, Mr. Speaker, and I enjoy a good impending gunfight as well as the next man. But it wasn't going to come off in the first place, and I just wanted to get up and confirm the suspicions anyway. Thank you.
Are there any more special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Gardner.
Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock on House Bill 664. That's the optometrist bill.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, the House Labor and Management Committee will work again in the continuing saga of House Bill 550. And in the phrase that you seem to enjoy so much, I'd like to warn the members of the committee that there may be a meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow on the same subject matter if it appears that we're not able to get all of what we're supposed to get done tomorrow morning. Also, I suppose I should announce that there's going to be an NBC reply to CBS or something like that tonight. At 5 o'clock, the Baranov, RCLASCOM, is going to be showing yet another technique of putting several TV pictures on only one satellite transponder. About a month and a half ago, there was a demonstration by Robert Wold, Western Union, and CBS. This is two RCA corporations and NBC showing that they can do it too and do it better or something. And I think that everybody's already received a telegram from the president of RCA Alaska about that.
Further announcements? Representative Parr?
Mr. Speaker, House will meet at 3 this afternoon. We have a number of bills, all of which deal with in some way with the foundation formula funding. House bills 851, bilingual education, 800, 749, and 738, instructional unit allotments. House bill 719, state aid for schools, and House bill 833, appropriation for regional resource centers. And, Mr. Speaker, the conference committee on committee substitute for House bill 132 will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning in room 112.
Representative Vosey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I got all hooked up here. The review, regulation review committee will meet tomorrow morning at 9:30 to take up the senior citizens property exemption.
Representative Osterbeck.
Excuse me, that'll be in the courthouse in the room 647.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource will meet today at 1:30, taking up House Bill 912, Small Oil Discharge, and House Bill 499, Hatcher Pass State Recreation Area. There was a misprint or something wrong here on the calendar, I don't know. Well, we probably changed our bill.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, Finance Committee will meet at 1:15 to begin hearings on capital move financing.
Point of information, Mr. Speaker.
State your point, Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, there are approximately 22 bills and resolutions still active regarding the capital move. As of Friday, the Finance Committee had 235 measures in committee. Isn't it somewhat irregular for them to be holding hearings at this time?
Representative Cooper?
No.
Representative Bradley?
Mr. Speaker, House State Affairs Committee will meet at 1:15 this afternoon. We'll be taking up two bills. House Bill 941 by the House State Affairs Committee, basically requested by Representative Rudd. It's an act ratifying the lease purchase agreement between the state and the city of Anchorage concerning the former state highway complex at 3rd Avenue and Post Road in Anchorage. Additionally, House Bill 401, an act relating to campaign disclosure, we will be having a general discussion, an update from the subcommittees on the capital move legislation we have in committee.
Further announcements? Representative Urien?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Carpenter be excused from the call of the House tomorrow.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Member will be excused on the dates indicated. Further announcements? Representative Miller?
Speaker, Representative Miles asked me to announce that tonight the House Oil and Gas Committee will meet at 7 p.m. at the Judiciary Meeting Room. The House bills under consideration will be H.R. 112, 113, and H.C.R. 120, all dealing with royalty oil contracts. There's nothing further to come.
One further announcement. On today's calendar, I note that Representative Gardner is the speaker at the Democratic Luncheon, Capitol Room of the Baranoff Hotel. Representative Miller?
Yes, that's a very good addition, Mr. Speaker. Also, I see that the Alaska State Museum is having a reception for legislators this evening at 7:30 as well. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent we stand adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.